Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm David, Dr. David Burns. When people feel kind of worthless and inadequate and like I haven't achieved anything in my life and my life doesn't have any real meaning or real value, maybe some people think I'm unlovable, some people think I'm hopeless, I'm a loser. But those are generally symptoms of depression. When people overcome depression and feel joy, they're generally no longer looking for meaning. I don't deal with meaning on an abstract level at all. If someone tells me I'm having trouble, what's the meaning of life? I say, what time of day were you struggling with it? And then whatever is happening at that specific time, once we work that through and get them to a sense of joy, it all disappears. You see, I adopted a cat, a violent cat who came to our back door. I used to chase him out of the yard because he'd come in and kind of frighten our cats. He lived in the woods behind our house. He'd never interacted with humans. And he was a predator, a violent, paranoid predator. And one day he came to our back door, our kitchen door, which is a glass door, and I couldn't believe that he would come because he was so afraid of me. And he looked thin and emaciated, and he held his paw up, and I could see it was as big as his head, and that apparently he had some kind of terrible wound and couldn't hunt and was on the verge of death. And so we captured him and took him to the vet for surgery, and then he kind of wanted us to adopt him, and although initially we couldn't get within 10 feet of him, and he would hiss and snarl, and if you tried to get close, he would try to bite you. But he became my best friend in the world, and eventually he would sleep on my chest at night and drool and purr, and we really fell in love with each other. It was pure love. And when I was with him, see, he wasn't special. He was just what we used to call an alley cat. And I'm not very special. But what Obi taught me is when you no longer have to be special, life becomes special. Just to be with him was the greatest experiences of my life, just to walk around. And he was so proud he wanted to go outside and follow me. And he wanted everyone to see that he and I were pals, and just to walk 100 yards to the end of the street, and he would get up on this kind of pile of bricks type of thing, and then I'd pet him, and he would just be so proud. But what this has to do with is that a lot of people, you see, we make ourselves miserable thinking that I'm not special enough. I haven't accomplished enough. How could I be happy? My marriage ended in divorce. I must be unlovable. And we beat up on ourselves with these messages, trying to become special, trying to become, more worthwhile human beings or whatever. There's what we call self-defeating beliefs that can set you up for depression and anxiety. And those self-defeating beliefs are like the achievement addiction or perfectionism or perceived perfectionism. My worth as a human being depends on my achievements. Or the love addiction, to be a worthwhile human being, I must be loved. And certainly these are based on values in our culture. Like the Calvinist work ethic says, you are what you do. And so if you do great things, you're a great human being, and if you kind of don't do much, you're a worthless human being. And that has led to the development of Western civilization. But these beliefs are like two-edged swords. because they have a positive beneficial side as well as a destructive negative side. So if I'm working with a patient and we discover that they have this achievement addiction, you know, like a man said, I'm worthless because I'm only making $35,000 a year. This was decades ago, but it was okay, but it wasn't great. I said, how much would you have to earn to be worthwhile? And he said, $75,000 a year. And since I'm not making that, I think I'm going to commit suicide. And these are incredibly destructive beliefs. But on the other hand, you can do a cost-benefit analysis and say, what are some advantages to telling yourself my worthwhileness depends on my achievements and I should always try to be perfect? Because I used to have that belief system myself, and it can stimulate incredibly hard work and motivate you to achieve a lot and project to others that you have high standards and people will admire you because of your hard work and achievements, and you may earn more money and people will see you kind of as a winner, and on and on and on. And then what are the disadvantages? Well, the disadvantages are when I fail, I'm going to crash emotionally. And I won't be able to tolerate criticism or failure because that'll be a threat to my self-esteem and sense of who I am. And I may be less productive because I'll be perfectionistic and obsessing and constantly criticizing myself. And I'll never feel real joy because every day I'm on a treadmill to prove that I'm worthwhile. And on and on. And then I have people like balance that out. What's greater, those benefits of this belief system, which are real, or the disadvantages? On a 100-point scale, is it 50-50, 60-40, 40-60? The first 7 years of my practice, I would have laughed you out of the city. Don't try to take away my perfectionism. I am going to become perfect. I'm going to help every patient no matter what. You know, it was like a stubborn addiction, but it caused pain for me as well as benefit because it motivated me. I've created over 100 powerful psychotherapy techniques, and when I couldn't help a patient, I'd create more techniques and more techniques. But it was also very painful for me because when I was able to help a tough patient, I felt fantastic. But when I was stuck with a patient, it hurt terribly. And then one day, I decided to let go of that perfectionism and achievement addiction. A patient said, Dr. Burns, you're not helping me. I said, you know, you're right. And I feel so sad because I've been failing you. And the techniques I've been throwing at you have not only not helped you, they're irritating you. And you're probably so mad at me and so disappointed and so hopeless. Let's talk about that. I feel the same way you do, and yet I like you so much and think if we work together, we could move some mountains. And all of a sudden, the heavens opened up, the patients would sob and cry, and we'd connect, and then they would recover. And I began to see, wow, you know, this idea of trying to be so special, it's kind of a blind alley. And I found in my teaching, too, that when I'm trying to impress people, they get pissed off at me. And when I'm showing my vulnerabilities and my failures, you have to have something good to teach. Otherwise, why should they be coming to you to learn? But to share, you know, my moments of self-doubt and despair, that suddenly they appreciate me way more. And it's been a personal transformation for me. And I found that as I've given up this need to be special or this need to achieve, my achievements really have kind of skyrocketed. So when you don't worry about failure, life becomes so much fun. But we put these structures on things. Is it good enough? Am I a success? Am I a failure? And it's that dialogue, I'm not good enough, that creates tremendous emotional pain that robs us of creativity and productivity and intimacy and love and joy as well. You know, that whole thing of perceived perfectionism, the idea we've got to impress people for them to love us and care about us. And if they see us as flawed or broken in some way, that then they'll turn against us. And again, that was a kind of a spiritual lesson for me. And again, that's that whole thing that society teaches us, you've got to be so flashy. And of course, people who are flashy do get a lot of attention, but that's not where real love and connection comes from.
Making Meaning is a limited series from Ministry of Ideas. It is produced by me, Zachary Davis, and Jack Pombriant. If you enjoyed this episode, you can support us by sharing the show with your friends, subscribing, and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. For more information, visit our website at ministryofideas.org. You can connect with us on Twitter, where we're at Ministry of Ideas. You can also email us at zachary@ministryofideas.org. We would love to hear from you. Ministry of Ideas is a proud member of Hub and Spoke, a Boston-centric collective of smart, idea-driven podcasts. You can check out all of our shows at hubspokeaudio.org.
Hi, I'm Willow Belden, the host of Out There. Over the past 9 years, we've been sharing award-winning outdoor stories. Stories that use nature to help you make sense out of life. And now, we're excited to bring you a new season. The theme for the season is
Silence.
Each episode, we'll share a story about finding stillness amidst the noise, whether that's literal or figurative.
I've never seen you that happy and enjoying yourself. You were just so, that was beaming type of joy.
It's one of those things where you just feel like you belong with the universe. It's like, it almost feels like a religious experience in a sense.
I haven't had a wedding, but I would assume it's something like that, where it's like, this is such an important day. So every single thing is a blur and also the most important thing that's ever happened.
Join us as we go outside in order to better understand ourselves. Together, we'll seek out the healing quiet of nature. We'll navigate the loss of inner stillness after an injury. And we'll silence the critics that are holding us back. Follow Out There wherever you're listening right now or at outtherepodcast.com.